Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversation with professionals in and out of the nonprofit world about personal development. And I'm actually here today with our fundraising leadership team, David Langiuli, Margaret Katz-Kann, and Janice Cunning. And we're going to talk about an interesting topic today. Hey, gang.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, Michelle.
We're professionals today. We're playing that role.
We try. Janice, you had a great topic for discussion today. Why don't you share it with our listeners?
Yeah, so I was thinking about on our theme this year of personal development. I was remembering a question that I actually heard Michael Bungay Stainer ask on his podcast. And for those who don't know, Michael is a Toronto-based coach who has a great book that we often recommend to people called The Coaching Habit. And he asked guests on his podcast a question, which was something like, what is the lesson that you have to learn over and over again in life? So the idea being, for some of us, rather than there being a lot of personal development mountains to climb, that sometimes the same struggle shows up in different ways and at different times in our life. So I always thought that was a very thought-provoking question that helps you get to know yourself a little better. So I'm curious, Margaret, yeah. What is a lesson you keep learning over and over again?
I'm still, my brain is still working to come up with one lesson, but I will say sort of, and I probably read this somewhere, I don't think I made this up, but I used to say it all the time to my kids, and it feels almost spiritual to me in its trueness, which is the universe comes after you first with a flick. And then if you don't get it, then you get the slap. And if you still don't see it, like, oh boy, here comes the 2x4, you know? And just this idea sometimes that when we don't get something or when we aren't looking for learning, that the volume seems to get louder and louder. I don't know. I wish I could tell you that there's only been one thing in my life. Like,
you know, well, I wonder if part, yeah, for you, what I'm hearing part of it is to learn to listen to the flick, right? Like maybe that's a lesson for you. Like how do you intervene and notice when it's at flick level?
Yeah. I mean, I would say my practice is to, what I am focusing on right now is paying attention to my body and the way that my body reacts to things. Because if I ignore my body, I miss the flick and then I miss the slap sometimes. Whereas, you know, if I'm paying attention, I can feel, you know, my belly gets tight or my throat gets tight or my breath kind of goes away. So I do think right now, as I'm trying to learn lessons faster and in better, you know, without having to repeat them over and over again, I think my work is, again, just to listen to the wisdom of my body, which tells me like, whoo, this is off. There's pain here. So
and
if I come up with a specific
side.
Lesson, I'll chime in, but that's where I'm at right now.
You have some body sensations. You mentioned some body sensations when something's off.
Yeah.
I won't even say wrong, right? Because we don't use right or wrong in our coaching. But what about when something is on?
Yeah, I love that. Also, right? If we pay attention, our bodies let us know that too.
Yeah, I'm curious, because you've mentioned a few body sensations when you know something's off. I'm curious if you've been noticing when it's a hell yes, and you kind of know in your body it's a hell yes to something. Like, how does it feel for you?
Oh, I love that question. And I have an answer to that question. Yeah, I think
I thought you might. I thought you might.
Shocker, right? I think when I am in hell yes, there's like this vibration that goes up the central part of my body, you know, like, and it's I feel powerful, and there's heat, like there's energy, you know, in me that I can feel and tap into. And it's, again, where it lives though is sort of in this, like, in my core, you know, from my head down, like this, almost like there's a column inside of me that like lights up.
All your chakras are
yes.
Open.
They're singing to each other. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. For singing.
Yeah. How about you guys? I feel like a couple people maybe had a specific lesson that that they were learning over and over again.
Yeah, when Janice mentioned this as a topic, I immediately had like, oh yeah, there it is again. So
there it is.
Womp,
there it is. We got to get some goofy into the space, right, Margaret?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, because mine doesn't feel so goofy when it's happening. So my like recurring theme is it has to be hard. And I've been able to shake off it has to be hard for months, even a few years at a time. And then it comes back again. And then I realize it's back because I'm just sort of like stuck in this. It's like this churn of like, oh, like this is like, it's just, I got to work harder and harder and harder to get through this. And then as soon as I realize, wait a minute, Michelle, does this have to be hard? The answer 99.9% of the time is actually not as hard as it is right now. There's something that I can let go of, or something that I can move through, or something that I can just, you know, an idea that it's not that important. And suddenly it becomes easier. But it is definitely a recurring theme.
Interesting.
And I think it comes from, you know, I mean, there's some values of mine that are important. Like I love the value of hard work, of working hard for something that you really want, you know, but there's like an overextension of that value that shows up in my life.
I wonder if there's something different, Michelle, between working hard and hard work.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. The hard work is the value, I think. And the working hard is, or maybe it could be, I don't know. It could be the opposite for me. I don't know. There is something in there though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that there's some different path between like having a goal and being willing to put in work towards your goal, which is different from pain, no pain, no gain.
Yes. It has to be miserable or it has to be. Yeah.
Right. It has no currency unless I have suffered appropriately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Michelle? I'm fascinated that, like you said, sometimes even years can go by. That's why I think this is an interesting question, right? You you almost think you've slayed something. You know, I slayed that dragon. So what kind of things do you think trigger it to reemerge in your life?
Probably overwhelm of lots going on, where I can get more unconscious about things easier, right? And that reactivity that we all go in when we do have a lot going on or something's happening in our life. So that's the key, I think. And, you know, I'm so grateful for all the personal development work that I've done in my life because I have more of an awareness around it. It still happens. Like we're all still human, right? I always say to my coaching clients, you know, I wish I could tell you I'm going to teach you how to be, you know, Buddha here and just like leave it all behind. But we're all human. So it all shows up again. The good news is that I usually notice it faster and I can get through it much quicker because this was a theme in my life for 25 years and I didn't even know it was there until now I know it's there.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's, I mean, we've talked a lot on this podcast about saboteurs. And if people missed last year, Margaret and David did an incredible, you know, deep dive, a lot of mini episodes on saboteurs. But you have a stickler saboteur, Michelle. And so maybe you could explain what that is for those who haven't listened to that episode yet and how that might relate to this lesson. Because I do think our saboteurs relate deeply to our life.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So my stickler saboteur is my saboteur that says there's a lot of details in this and they've all got to be right. They've all got to be handled. They've all got to be right. And that is where I get stuck in the this has to be hard messaging that I give myself. yeah. And the stickler can, it gets caught in the churn. Like it's just like stuck in that merry-go-round of endless details that all have to be handled. And, you know, in the messaging that I give myself, which is, is there a part in here that gets to be easy when I notice it's hard? there's usually details in there that don't actually have to be handled, or not as well as I'm handling them. And that's where the relief comes, is letting that stickler go a bit. Like, oh, it's all fine. It's all good. Yeah. And, you know, to be fair, like these saboteur voices come up in our life when we're young, like for various reasons. They serve us to a certain extent to stay safe or to navigate our life as we're learning how the world works. But their voices get louder and louder and louder and louder in our life. And suddenly they are a saboteur. They sabotage us. And so that's when we realize, wait a minute, is this useful or not useful? And most of the time it's not useful at all. It's just a pattern of behavior. So my pattern of behavior is my stickler says this has to be hard.
And they love to come and play when it's when you're in overwhelm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Janice, what are you discovering? What's your theme that you notice?
So I noticed two, which again relate to saboteurs. So I think one of them relates to, and you all jump in if you see another one in this, but I see controller in the, there is, I'm looking for the right answer, not even a right answer, but like, what's the right answer? You know, what's the thing that if I figure it out, it's all gonna magically, you know, like fall into place. And that, you know, when we did leadership and, you know, David and I did leadership together and Michelle and Margaret have done the same leadership program, that was something, I can't remember if it was Sam or Pat, but one of our leaders of the program said, you're always looking for the right answer. You know, it's not a math test. Life is not a math test. So that one.
That's good.
That's good. Life is not a math test. I like that.
Thank God I was never good at math.
I know, and I don't even like math. So why am I looking for the right answer? I was like more of a history English major who was like, you know, there's lots of interpretations. I think I get caught up in that because of controller. Like it somehow makes me feel like if I could figure out the right answer, then I could control everything. And I think the other one is avoider saboteur, which is, it has different flavors, but for me is often about kind of trying to stay over, like in the positive to a toxic amount, you know, like toxic positivity, and avoiding like conflict or difficult situations. So that's, that lesson to me is like, I've stayed too long in something that is not serving me or working anymore. So I know that like personally, I've done that in relationships and professionally, you know, I had a job that I really loved, but then I didn't anymore. And instead of like in that case, having a difficult conversation, mostly with myself, like just even to admit to myself that that was not the right place for me to be anymore. I was desperately trying to get it back to when I did love it. Cause it's like, well, I loved this job before. So if I work hard enough, I can recapture that magic. And that didn't work. So yeah. So for me.
I love what you're naming, Janice, or one of the many things that you're naming, but just this way that arcs end, you know, that was such a revelation for me. And it's a place of learning still, but that sometimes something is great until it's not. You know, and then we can get stuck between how can I make it great again versus, you know, great is someplace different now. Like this is finished. The arc of this is finished. It's a hard.
Well, there's a story in that we create, like, but it was once great. How can I, you know, find that greatness again? And it usually is that a new story has to be created. We're just resisting that. That might be that avoider that you're talking about too, Janice. The avoider of what's next.
That is another lesson from our leadership program is like, arcs can sometimes people cut off arcs too soon. So that might be a restless saboteur where it's like, I just got to move on. I got to get out of this. For me, it's definitely what they used to call arcus prolongus. It's like, no, this has gone on way too long and it's no longer good. You know, if you think about for people listening, like if you've seen maybe like a comedy sketch, or you're watching like a TV comedy and it's like, it was funny and then it's not anymore. That's usually like, okay, you know, this is arcus prolongus. You got to cut this off. So yeah.
Yeah. The show went on for one season too long. Yes.
I'm watching one of those shows right now. And it's like, it's like, this was so good. And now it's not.
When Phronsie, that's when in Happy Days, Phronsie jumped the shark. That was like arcus prolongus of Happy Days, right? That's why that expression, it's like, okay, they just jumped the shark. Like, okay, like what else can you have left?
Exactly. Right? And if you're too young to see Happy Days, go, I'm sure it's on YouTube, but that was a classic moment in television.
Oh God.
When Phronsie jumped the shark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So David, what about you? What does this bring up for you, this question?
Well, before Janice, you and Michelle started talking about the lessons that you need to learn over and over again and that are triggered by saboteurs, I had the thought that mine is my inner critic, which is another aspect of the way we sabotage ourselves. And the four of us do a lot of work with leaders in the nonprofit world around their own inner critics. It's a pervasive habitual mind pattern of self-criticism. And I was, even as we came on the podcast today and we were talking about who's going to do the intro and who's going to do the outro, I was thinking about how I screwed up the outro yesterday. Now, it may not have been apparent to see, this is how subtle this, at least it is for me, because I've done a lot of work on the inner critic, you know. But I'm very mindful of when I was reading the outro yesterday, I was fumbling around my words. And like in the middle of it, I was being harsh with myself, like right when I was. And so that's how you can sabotage. Now, I got through it and I managed to get through that. I also am aware another incident yesterday of you guys know, and many folks in the audience know, I train jiu-jitsu, and, you know, I train anywhere from 4 to 6 days a week. So I was training yesterday. I'm preparing for a tournament in a couple of weeks, which is a very big tournament, one that I've wanted to win for many years and have not yet stood on the podium. I did stand on the podium in second place once. But anyway, so I was training, I'm getting ready, and I, you know, was training with two black belts yesterday who are higher ranked with than me. They're younger, they're bigger, they're stronger. And I was working on my stand-up game, you know, taking somebody down to the ground. And I made some errors and got taken down. You know, I'm trying to be, this is a little bit of stickler too, I'm trying to be error-free. So it's in this game, you know, being mindful of your errors and trying not to make errors. You can never be completely error-free in life in general, and in this sport in particular. But the more error-free you are, the better chance you have of standing on that first place top podium. And boy, I was just really harsh with myself after having made, you know, those mistakes yesterday. I mean, I've come a long way in this in terms of recognizing that I'm learning from this, and, you know, and so that's what I did, you know, to, but this, I don't know, you know, for me, this voice is one that is quite persistent and just becomes more and more subtle. And then of course my listening for it has to become more and more subtle, and yeah. So those are a couple of examples. That's the one I keep. It's, I don't know that I'll ever be free of this, to be honest. Although I do feel like I'm getting more skillful at recovering from the attacks.
Yeah, and I think that's what all this work is about. It's about becoming more skillful at recovering. Because as I mentioned earlier, we are all human. Like, it's not, there is actually no perfection that will be reached. And, you know, what are some of your methods for recovering from your inner critic, David?
Well, this conversation is working. So this is a coach-like conversation that we're having with each other right now. And so one of the great things about having partners who are coaches is we can take moments like this and reflect upon our, what's going on in our life, how we may be sabotaging ourselves. And so working with a coach or really having someone who's trained to listen for how you sabotage yourself can be super helpful. So just, I'm actually processing it right now. This, I came into this call not even having a thought of what my topic was going to be, and that's how coaching often works. You work with one of us and you're thinking like, okay, it's been 2 weeks, I got nothing to talk to David about, and before you know it, you're like knee deep in shit. Like, you didn't even know you were going into the shit, and before you know it, you realize you forgot your waiters, and then you're like, you're stickler and you judge, like, how come you didn't bring my waiters to this coaching call? And there you are in the shit.
Exactly. What might the waiters look like that I need to bring with me next time? What do I need to be aware of?
Exactly.
Well, that's exactly. One thing I want it.
Oh, next time I'll bring my waiters to the coaching call.
I want to acknowledge David, and we all see this in you. You are so good at looking for, like, what can I learn? What could be a gift of this? What's greater knowledge that I have? How have I grown? And I just, it's so admirable to see you do that over and over
again. Thank you, Janice. Appreciate that.
And I feel like, you know, when we all first took that PQ program, which has given us all of these skills and tools and language around the saboteurs, but Shirzad Shamin, who started the program, kind of said, you know, the goal is not to get rid of your saboteurs. I mean, it might be your goal, but that's not generally how this goes. You know, that really a realistic goal is to take a big, giant, looming monster and tuck it into something that's just a couple inches tall that might, you know, sit on your shoulder that you can sass back. But that, you know, but that
off.
It doesn't actually, right, or brush away or whatever, but that it wasn't realistic to hope, oh, I'm never gonna have this again. And as you're talking, I'm realizing probably my thing that I keep learning is or want to have learned and don't seem to be able to cross that finish line, but is this idea of not taking things personally. And that's, you know,
that's a tough one.
And probably if I had to tie it to a saboteur, it would be victim. You know, this way of taking somebody else's, you know, bad mood or grumpiness or insensitivity or just being themselves or focusing on what they're focusing on and getting hurt by that, right? Like having that somehow become about me or a way that they have hurt me. And I sure would like to not be in that space ever again, but I doubt that that's going to really happen. But the sooner I realize it.
Well, what have you noticed? Because I suffer from that too, Margaret. What have you noticed in your progress on this front?
I've noticed that one of my wise friends talks about this idea, like, you know what kangaroos do? Kangaroos hop. And every one of us is a kangaroo with our own hop. And when we expect the kangaroo that we are speaking to do cartwheels or, you know, moonwalk or whatever, then we get in trouble. And when we remember, like, oh, this is who this person is. This is how they are in the world. That's been like when I can notice that, whew, that's very helpful. Does that answer the question? Okay.
And I think, you know, David was talking about processing here, you know, and we obviously we're lucky to work together. We get to process. And Margaret, you also process a lot by journaling and also blogging. So I think that's also like a very important part of your work is get those feelings out and to sort of be able to see them on a page.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we always like to give our listeners something to try at the end of a podcast. And, you know, we've gone through all sorts of resources here and ways that you can explore this with yourself, but you can also reach out to any one of us, and we'll put a link in the show notes about how to do that. If you want to have an exploratory conversation about some of the things that have gotten in your way and a theme that you're noticing in your own life, you're welcome to reach out to any one of us and have a conversation and explore what coaching might be like for you.
Each of us is willing, happy to meet new people, have an exploratory conversation with anybody who's suspecting that a little coaching might serve them.
Yeah.
Great.
Absolutely.
All right. And for the outro.
That's our new word.
It's our new
week.
Favorite word. This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs to grow nonprofit leaders. Please subscribe. If you haven't already, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you are enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a one-time contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Please contribute today using the link in the show notes, and if you do, you will receive one or more of our highly acclaimed online courses. Now, go put it into practice. Yeah.